What's up, Conference USA fans? Welcome back. After a long summer off, we are here with another episode of CUSA Insider, the official podcast of Conference USA. I'm Sarah Rudolph, your host, joined here by Josh Yonas, my co-host today, and we are ready to talk a little bit of CUSA football, but not ready to dive into the season quite yet. We're going to recap our CUSA kickoff, our media days that happened a week ago? That feels like a lifetime ago.
Well, we're recording this Tuesday, but a week from today is when we finish that up. So we're going to sit in that for a little. As excited as we are to get to kickoff, we're going to focus on CUSA football kickoff, focus on our show and on some of the great stuff that we captured there last week. So
I'm excited. We're going to dive into a couple of little clips from our press conferences from each of our coaches. We'll hear from Commissioner Judy McLeod. We'll hear from a special interview at the end of the show. I'm not even gonna tell you who it is yet, which is a really fun one to do. But first, we do want to tell you that we will be doing, once again, I think it was great last year, the last 2 years that we've done it, our preview series with our football programs, previewing each and every Conference USA football program leading up to the season. That first episode will release on August 4th. So we're super excited to jump into that. But first, we're going to take a little dive into some press conference content. I know a lot of people maybe watched the show on ESPN Plus, but maybe didn't get to see some of these press conference clips. So we're going to start off with those.
Yeah, I think this will be a perfect, if you missed everything surrounding media days, this will give you just a good little mini media day. We'll kind of highlight one little thing from each program that they're really focused in on this year. But what an awesome event too, just going back to that, like, new venue. We were inside Texas Live for our ESPN Plus show for the podcast recordings that you did with the teams on Monday, went over to the Lowe's Hotel on Tuesday to wrap up with the press conferences and some awesome video content that we're excited for you guys to get to see throughout the year, just building up a lot of collateral that we're excited to use throughout the year. But some awesome stuff came out of this. I think that the messaging just across the board was really good, right? Coming into this year, I think there's just a lot of themes about, the competitiveness of the league, the continuity, a lot of big stars coming back this year. Only one new head coach and a head coach that comes in with a really good resume that came in with a lot of energy at Media Day, too.
Mm-hmm. We'll get a lot of height. I did not realize how tall he was.
Same. He walked in. I was like, oh, okay.
We're talking about Coach Woods at Missouri State, if no one knows who we're talking about. Yeah, he's a very tall man. Very, very tall.
Yes, but we'll start off with the commissioner herself, starting us off with a bang, just kind of covering some of the competitive highlights of the league and really just giving a nice overview of what a fantastic year it was for Conference USA.
You know, across the board, I think you're seeing a lot of depth in our conference. We had the highest winning percentage in bowl games for a group of six conference, three teams with at least 9 wins. So we're really becoming one of the nation's consistently competitive and exciting football conferences. We have close games. You guys see it all the time. We have hungry, rising programs, national exposure. Our weekday CUSA has been great for us, being able to educate the nation, really, what Conference USA is all about. And we've had meaningful football throughout the season. Every time team steps on the field, we don't really know what's going to happen because of the depth and the quality throughout the league.
I think it was great to hear from the commissioner what she thinks on the league as a whole, not just on the football field, but as a whole in Conference USA this past year. One thing that is going to be a constant in this league is the parity, the competitiveness. She said it best. You never know who's going to win when they step on the football field on any given Tuesday, Wednesday, Saturday, whatever it may be. And so there's a ton of parity in this league.
Yeah. And it's, I think a lot of the maybe larger outlets get caught up in talking about, who the front runner is for the championship, and, talking a lot about Kennesaw last year, Jacksonville State the year before, Liberty the year before, but missing so much in the middle there. And even again, it doesn't matter where you're talking in the standings. It doesn't matter if it's second place team playing the 10th place team. You just know you're getting a good game. Anything could happen. So and that takes a lot, right, from these players, from these coaches to be able to prepare for such a competitive environment, knowing that there's no easy game, no matter what day, what time, wherever you're going on the road. And I think Tyson Helton at WKU kind of put it best, where, you know, he really talks a lot about what the keys are to winning those games. So I really liked what Tyson said here.
Consistency in critical situations more than anything. You know, the game is about getting to the last 5 minutes of the game. You know, I say this a lot. There's a lot of ups and downs during a game. And, you know, you have to embrace that. But literally, you want to get to the last 5 minutes. You want to go a minute. And that's the biggest thing. And don't ever look at scoreboard. You know, you take one snap at a time. You know, players make plays. You know, that's why we play the game. That at critical moments, that guy, that talented player is going to make the play that he needs to make to go win the game. And you try to get as many of those guys as you can, you know. Compliment to Kennesaw State. Remember the championship game? I think it was 4th and 14. I mean, and Kennesaw State's quarterback rolls out to the left, scrambles, you know, outruns everybody, makes the first down. I mean, what a huge play in that game, because the game's over if he gets tackled, and then they go on to win the game. So you get to the last 5 minutes of the game, and then players make plays, and that's how you win. So whoever can do that consistently, those are the teams that are going to be successful.
I think what I really enjoyed most about that is, even in the middle of his press conference talking about his team, this conference, he takes a moment to give a shout out to Kennesaw State. So just the camaraderie of the coaches to give so much kudos to other teams in the league, to other moments. He's talking about a championship game he wasn't even playing in, just to use that as an example of how competitive this league is and how important those last minute plays are.
I think that this is just a constant. I mean, we heard it over and over again at Media Day. Conference USA is a gauntlet. Conference USA, it's hard schedule to get through. And it's just because we keep telling, I mean, we're kind of beating the, what is it, beating a dead horse? Is that what the phrase is? But it is, it's really difficult. And I think that that's the fun about our league. There is, you don't know who's going to win the Conference USA championship. If you had told me that Kennesaw State was going to win CUSA last year, I would have told you you were nuts. And so it's just really fun to come in and, think about who may be the front runner this year. We're going to hear from a guy who's new on the block here in just a second, and Casey Woods, speaking in favor of Conference USA, having not even coached a game in Conference USA as a head coach right. yet. And he's ready and getting excited about taking on this new season in Conference USA. You're going to hear about that right now.
Kind of the last statement that I just like to make about Conference USA, man, is we have to be more vocal about how good our conference is. Our coaches in this conference are putting fantastic quality products on the field. We've talked at length about how close our games are. We've talked at length about how entertaining they are. We've talked at length about the national exposure that we get from a midweek standpoint. But we don't need to be apologetic about that, right? We need to go rent out live and put on the big screen, and who cares that the SEC is doing the same day, right? We've got a great product here that we're producing great players. We're producing players that are going to play in the NFL. We're producing players that are going to play in the SEC, and that's fine. We embrace that role, and we embrace that opportunity to harvest. That reflects on the great recruiting that we can there, man. Come be part of this league, play great competitive football, have an opportunity to be the very best version of yourself in college football or the NFL, whatever level that looks like. And I think that I'm, for one, going to be super vocal about CUSA and the direction we can go. And I think our coaches are putting a fantastic product. And the more that we can get the media to recognize and understand and help us share those stories of our players, help us share the opportunities and the direction this league is headed, the better off we'll be, man, and the faster and more rapid growth we can show.
And now I would like to vote Casey Woods as the next president of the United States. I think that he
approved.
I think seconded. That he, yeah. I mean, like, I could not have said anything. I mean, I've been through branding in this conference for the last 8 years, and I don't know if I could have said it myself better and any better if I tried.
Yeah, I mean, that was arguably the line of Media Day, right? I mean, that one just really stuck with me because he's right. I mean, there's so much. There's so much good in this league, right, that is not going told enough, and certainly not loud enough. So we're here trying to help Casey get the word, help ourselves get the word out. Yes. I mean, we're the ones that should be doing this too. And we're doing our part, but yeah, you bring up branding, right? And that's such a big piece of not only our conference, but our schools. When you look at different markets, different cities. And I think when we talk about successful branding in CUSA, obviously you think about someone like Western Kentucky. But now you think about a school like FIU, right? The last few years, what they're doing with the Vice Knights, with the 305, with Pitbull, I mean, they are doing their part to represent South Florida, mm-hmm. and that culture, and it goes beyond what, you know, the team culture that Willie Simmons is trying to implement in year two, which is an important aspect, but he's trying to become so ingrained in that community that it becomes so synonymous, right? When you think South Florida, when you think public universities, you want to think FIU, and I think Willie puts it best.
Well, I think the guy to my far left is a perfect example of what that means. Just the amount of community service, our influence in the local Miami community, you're really trying to continue to raise the brand, the profile. You know, FIU is the public university of, you know, South Florida. And we have over 300 living alumni just in the Tri-County area. And so just really being able to drive around the community and see the Panther head, to see the 305, to see, you know, our logo, and people start to talk about the university because of what the football team is doing. That's something that we're really excited and proud of.
Well, we just talked about how great a brand is for a school, for a university, for a football team. But part of that is the players that are on the field. You talk about NIL these mm-hmm. days. I mean, brand deals are everywhere. We have two in particular quarterbacks in this league who are making a name for themselves, who are doing amazing things on the field. And we had our coaches for those two teams just sing their praises, I guess, during their press conferences, where if you don't know who you're talking about, Nick Minicucci from Delaware, we've got Caden Creel from Jacksonville State, two guys who are back on the field for their teams this year. Both Ryan Carty and Charles Kelly talked about them at length during their press conferences, and we are going to watch that right now.
Well, Caden is, first of all, he's a very good leader, but he has even increased his leadership ability since he's, you know, took over the job. But one of the things that we wanted to improve on was being able to throw the football more consistently. Caden got very good on. He was very instinctive. He can process. So I think he's done a lot better job of getting the offseason. He was very intentional about improving in those areas. But at the same time as he wanted to improve in those areas of throwing football, he wanted to make sure that he kept growing, you know, as a leader, as a runner, because he's
very good,
got very big legs. He's a leading rusher coming back in Conference USA. So we want to be able to use all of his skill sets, but I think, in pass getting, it's going to trigger well.
I think the thing that he'd tell you the same thing is, can I get better at processing? Always. And I think those are the things, again, one more year in this offense, one more year, with the people around them, with the similar offensive line and running backs and all the people, you know, that have been helping him, can I continue to process better? The faster that we can get from read to read to read, the less sacks we'll take, the less turnovers we will have. Those are the things that I think Nick puts an onus on himself to do. And we do as coaches to make sure that we continue to get better, from start to finish. See, you know, game to game. And I think the preparation side of it is something that Nick will continue to get better at, although it's something he does really well.
Obviously, quarterbacks super important to team success this year, but Kennesaw State also returning or entering the season with a headlining returner, reigning co-defensive player of the year, Baron Hobson, voted the preseason defensive player of the year. I think that may have been one of the more obvious votes as well. But Coach Mack really opened up on how, you know, it, just in this age of the portal, in this age of college athletics that we're in, we're frankly so unused to seeing guys like that come back for another year with that high of expectations. So Coach Mack really took this one pretty well in his press conference in addressing how he was able to retain someone like Baron Hobson.
Relationships, no matter what it is, whether it's the National Football League where I coach or whether it's college, relationships do your matter. These guys really gravitate toward those relationships they have with coaches. If you talk to B Hobbs, you know, he would tell you the same thing. You know, he graduated with an engineering degree. He's from the state of Georgia. He's going to probably end up pointing to the Hall of Fame at Kansas State one day. That is his home. That is his place. He's kind of made his standard, made his mark here at Kansas State University. And I think the way we treat those guys at the building, not only just his position coach, but everyone involved, the way we develop those relationships inside our building, as you can see, that's what gave us really a chance to be successful last year. It's going to continue to be our bread and what gives us a chance to be successful going forward. But there's a lot of turnover in college football. We all see. But we always have an opportunity to retain some guys that feel like they want something a little bit different than just a financial gain.
So we know that Jerry Mack landed a huge win when he brought Baron Hobson back for this season. And unfortunately, some of our other teams lost some kids to the portal in some really big, huge key positions. And one of those being the Liberty Flames. We don't know who is going to be under center for them this upcoming year. And we're going to hear Jamie Chadwell talk about that in just a second.
Yeah, there were a couple transfers there that came in. Obviously, Bob from the job, I would share that both those guys have been really good teammates and nice job in one of learning much to do offensively, but two, also bringing people with them. Put some work in. They've done a nice job of making sure that both sides of the ball know who they are and they hang around with them and they spend time in the quarterback's leader, everybody. And so I would share both of them have done a nice job with that as far as putting themselves in positions to hopefully be the guy, but more importantly, that be the number one leader on the team. I mean, we got obviously other quarterbacks. Even Masco's returning. You know, he's done a nice job of that, so it's going to be a big battle there. But those two have done a nice story.
Coach Chadwell, a little more coy about the beginning of his quarterback battle, but Coach Mason in his really didn't shy away from what his approach was when they kind of really started their portal process this year. He, you know, you look at the guys they have on the team this year, Roman Gagliano, Cameron Lacey out wide for him. So they've got some pieces on that offense, but he said, guys, where we're going to pour into is this offensive line. He gave some love to the big boys up front because that's really going to be what defines if Middle Tennessee can rebound this year. So let's see what Coach Mason had to say.
Right now, you're talking about the roster. Roster is deeper. We had to focus on the offensive line. I think, you know, where you go there determines the success of your team. It determines the physicality of who you're going to be, not just offensively, but how you develop your defensive line. A year ago, we were pretty good up front defensively, but I don't think that group was challenged enough by our offensive line. So we went all in. Most of our resources were put on the offensive line, not on line center, because if you can run, if you protect your quarterback, it gives you a chance to put points on the board and you can find ways. I mean, I'm a defensive guy and I've got defensive coaches. We got a lot of defense experience. We'll find ways to make sure we can get off the field, but you have to stay on the field to get your points on. In this conference, you got to score 30 plus a game. So if that's truly the case, I mean, it had to be about giving our running backs and our quarterback an opportunity to get started. So we're going to get Roman Gagliano a chance to get started. We're more than two deep. And I think it's a combination of one P4 guy, a bunch of Division II and FCS guys with a bunch of experience. And I think that's extremely important. We've learned some lessons about the port. You got to be careful about getting guys that don't have playtime because those guys don't mean much to your program. They're just older guys and that look good in the uniform but don't necessarily have enough experience or you know, like enough like fight to understand what it is to play games. So going to get guys with experience was uber important in putting those guys with Roman so that we can develop chemistry. Because football, I can tell you, it's not a talent problem, it's a chemistry problem. Can you get guys on the same page, believing like in each other? And that just comes from, you know, everyday investment, hard work, weight room, and just spending time with each other. So offensive line was the biggest key for us.
Coach Mason talked a lot about how important team chemistry is, and Phil Longo does not shy away from the fact that that was missing from their team last year. Going into year two, he is much more excited about the product that he has in the locker room that is going to transpire on the field. His guys have been together now through a whole season. He's got a home field that he can be proud of now, a tailgate scene, lots of good things going in the right direction for the Bearcats. We're going to listen to Phil Longo here talk about what impressed him in the offseason and how he's looking forward to the continuity for the Bearcats going into the 2026 season.
I alluded to it yesterday, the continuity and the fact that they're pretty unified group right now. And we have taken some steps we didn't have time to take last year because of, you know, when you think about your work day, whatever you do right now, and then add 6 hours, you got to take a 6 hour chunk out of that day. And it's not in a row. It's going to be 2 hours in the morning, 2 hours in the afternoon, 2 hours of recruiting dinner at the end of the evening to go recruit somebody. And that's how our work day was every day last year. And I'm not complaining. It's our job, but that's not the normal deal, right? And so this year, that's how it was. And I just think we are in a much better place right now because what we have been discussing here is just this. We get up every morning knowing exactly what we're going to do. The players do, the coaches do. We go to bed every night knowing what the goal is tomorrow. And I think it'll pay dividends. I know that our guys are tight right now. But we've done everything we could to try to integrate the offensive players and the defensive players because there's a natural division that occurs when you're working on different sides of the building. And, you know, they're trying to stop everybody, and these guys are trying to score on everybody. And then in between, you've got to bring them all together for special team. But there's not a lot of interaction other than a competition on the field. A lot of team bonding, a lot of activities, a lot of community involvement, a lot of development off the field that didn't exist in this program last year just because there wasn't time for it. So I think we have a really good plan, and our plan is to build this thing year by year so that when we get there, we get where we want this program to be, we can sustain the success.
One thing that came up a lot, just in various ways, right, was this word investment. And I think the art of this roster construction that our coaches are having to go under year after year requires some investment. And that's something that New Mexico State head coach Tony Sanchez is really starting, you know, as he goes into year three as well, is starting to see the fruits of the labor there. New AD, who's got kind of a fresh take on things, and there's kind of a new energy out
new
there.
Locker room,
yeah,
too,
new
yeah.
Locker room. There's just a lot of new energy out there in Las Cruces. And I think they're really feeding off of that in the football team. And he saw that in the portal this year. So here's what Tony had to say about the investment in his program.
Well, I think, you know, it increases every year. But, you know, the biggest thing I think we've seen is the lack of the lack of being involved in this has really hindered us the last couple of years. I mean, it's, you know, like I said, you're going to lose some top end guys. But when you're losing guys for little amounts to people you have to play or people you need to compete against, there's a problem. So us making the investment that a lot of the teams in conference USA have done this year, I think collectively as a conference, we've made an assertive effort to go ahead and raise our level and retain more of our players. So that's been something that we've talked about, you know, in conference meetings. So I think absolutely anytime there's more investment, expectations go up. But, you know, and at the end of the day, my expectations and our team's expectations have not changed from year to year. Now, have we had some disappointments at the end? Absolutely. But the expectations every year are the exact same. Win a conference championship, beat your rivals, you know, go to bowl games. Those expectations are never going to change regardless.
It was really great just to hear from all of our head coaches after a long summer of not really hearing much from them. It was great to get CUSA kickoff started and running, and we're ready for football season now. But we did have another special guest show up to Conference USA Media Days, Rich Clark from the CFP. What is his official title?
I think he's executive director.
Executive director. Executive director of the CFP showed up at Media Day, and we just had to take the opportunity to ask him a few questions, didn't we, Josh?
Of course, yeah. Yeah, we were fortunate to have five members of the CFP office, so they are kind of covering and networking with people in various ways. And very fortunate to have their staff on hand. And yeah, we were like, hey, may as well get some Rich Clark content out of it. Also got, you know, not to spoil it, got a great weekday CUSA promo out of him. Ooh. As well at the end of the interview. So he speaks very highly of that initiative. But just a great conversation with him about some of the initiatives they're working on and really just kind of how not only what Conference USA is doing plays into just everything that CFP, but also Judy's role in, you know, just a lot of the decision making around the format of the playoffs. So it was a very cool conversation. Like, you know, kind of going into it, I wasn't sure what kind of overlaps we were going to have, you know, obviously other than just being a part of a conference that can qualify for the playoff. Really great conversation with Rich Clark. Excited for you guys to hear it. As CFP continues to evolve, and what excites you most about the opportunities available across the country and then also to an organization like Conference USA?
Well, the CFP has been, I would call it a great success the last 2 years. The 12-team playoff has really proven successful, but we're always trying to get better. There is no end to better is a saying that we have in our office. So we constantly are looking for what's the best format, what's the best change, what's the best thing that we can do to take it to the next level. And all of our commissioners are key and instrumental in that. The management committee, which is the 10 FBS commissioners, and the Notre Dame athletic director, but they all are key, including Commissioner McLeod, and helping us to determine what really is best. So I am excited about this coming year because it's going to be the best yet, but I'm even more excited about our future because, I think the opportunities for every FBS team in the country are only going to get better.
As part of that evolution, some of the conversations with commissioners, I'm sure the metrics come up a lot. You know, that's kind of a hot topic. So talk me through that process, how you guys evaluate that year to year and, you know, how those continue to change.
We look at the metrics every year. We sort of do an analysis of what they presented to us, what the metrics showed us last year and the teams that came through. And football is always evolving. It changes. The game changes. What's important in the game changes. So we always want to make sure that our metrics are relevant and valid. So we have a team that really digs deep into that. And some of the things that we continue to hear from some of the commissioners and the coaches and the athletic directors is, how do we use those metrics? You know, show how they're used. And that's kind of hard to do because our committee, the selection committee, they use it in different ways. I mean, these are former coaches, former athletic directors, and current athletic directors, former players, and they all look at it in a little bit of a different lens because they all come from different parts of the game. So it's hard to pin down exactly what metrics are the most important because it depends on that member. And so it's a sort of democratic process. You know, what's important to you in the game and how you discuss it in the room determines how the votes occur. And so when we look at the metrics, we want to make sure that they're valid, that they represent what's that sort of landscape of college football at the time. But how do we use them? It depends. You know, we give guidance, but it really depends on the member. So it's hard to pin down exactly how a particular metric is used in a day, but as long as it's valid and reliable to the members using it.
As you visit with administrators throughout the year, you know, at media days, what are some of the biggest themes that you hear about the direction of college football and CFP?
Well, college football in general, there's a lot. There's so much going on. And I would say generally, it's about the guardrails that are put around some of the things that are going on, like the transfer portal, like NIL, broadcast rights, you know, different things like that. And we're getting some help from Congress right now. And the commissioners are definitely engaged in that. So at a strategic level, there is a lot going on and the commissioners have a really tough job, but they're tackling it. They're not looking away from this. They're taking it head on. And we do appreciate our congressional members that are also taking interest in that and helping us through it. From a CFP standpoint, the things that are really big right now, format. What is the future format going to look like? That is a constant question that we're getting. The commissioners are working on that. They're being very deliberate about that. We're providing a lot of information to them on different things like student health and safety, like what's the scheduling of these games look like? What does it do to the regular season? What does it do to bowl games? What's the revenue distribution like based on that? So there's so many different aspects of a format change, but the commissioners don't want to rush into a decision that they might regret later. That because once we make the decision, we're not going to walk it back. So we have to address every issue, give them time to process them, think them through, work through it with their staffs, and then allow them to make a really good decision about what the next format will be. Could be that we stay at 12. It might be 16 teams. It might be 24 teams. But whatever it is, We want to be deliberate about it. We want to make a good decision. That is probably right now the number one topic that comes up and that we're talking about dealing with. And the commissioners are taking it very seriously because it will have an impact on all of college football, including the regular season. And though the regular season is most important, it drives what we do in the postseason with the CFP. So we're taking it seriously and we're going to come to a good decision.
Every year brings new breakout teams, memorable moments. What are you most looking forward to with this upcoming college football season?
Man, last year it was almost, we couldn't have scripted it better. People keep congratulating us on a great 12-team playoff. And I'm kind of like, we've set the stage, but it's really the teams, it's the storylines of the teams. It's what they did in the regular season. It's what individual athletes do and some of the great performances that we see on the field. That's really what makes it good. Now it's our team, our CFP team's responsibility, give them that venue and the 11 games that we put on to help them to get there. But ultimately, I just get excited about what our teams are going to do on the field. That's where it's decided. And to me, that's the excitement of it. The passion. People love college football, and real diehard college football fans, that's what separates us from anything else, because they are so passionate about it. They love to see their teams do great things, and I love to be a part of it to help them elevate their performance in their season.
As we talk about competitiveness, passion of games, obviously Conference USA is, been one of the ones we've had some of the closest games, almost 50% of our games last year were one score games. So, what did you notice in your time at CFP, kind of looking at across the leagues and at CUSA specifically about the growth and parity and competitiveness of this league?
I think Conference USA, like every other league, is really starting to understand what it takes to be a real contender for the CFP. And, at the first week of the season, there's a path for every team to get to the CFP. There's a path there. And hopefully those teams are looking at that path and visualizing their journey through it. I love to see teams that are elevating and that are coming up, and that each year they just get a little better and a little better and get closer to that path to win. But, a competitive postseason, one of the things that drives and makes the regular season better is teams' desire and their goals to be in that postseason. And so if we can do that to help teams get better, to help them in their off season, to help them during the regular season, and if that drives them to be better athletes and better teams, then we've done our job. We've done our job. And if the fans love it, if the fans just can't get enough of it, then we have achieved our goals too. So I just get excited for the start of it. We have a lot of, you talk about a lot of things, you do a lot of admin work, but the best time is when the first game of the regular season starts and that we're playing football. I look forward to that every year.
Amen. All right. So our tagline for our weekday games in October, Weekday CUSA, is make weekdays fun again. Can we get a make weekdays fun again from you?
Oh, you can. I'll be honest. I love weekday football. I love coming home after work sometime and going, oh, man, there's a football game on. And there is nothing better than just to be able to sit back and relax. So thank you, Conference USA, for doing that. Let's make weekdays fun again.
Huge thanks to Rich Clark for taking some time out of his very, very, I'm sure, busy schedule to sit down with us and answer a couple of our questions there at CUSA Football Media Days. It was a great time getting to sit down, talk to the coaches, hear about what they've been working on all summer, what they're looking forward to this season. And if you enjoyed this content today, definitely make sure you're on the lookout for our CUSA football preview series that gets started next week with the Delaware Fightin' Blue Hens. Josh, what can we expect to see in your portion of the episode?
Yeah, so I will try to do my part to improve on what are already some fantastic conversations you had with the coaches and athletes. But no, we'll be very gracious to be joined by media representatives from each school just to give a little extra flair on each program, the outlook, what some things are to watch. So yeah, starting with Delaware, kind of not really, ironically, we purposely started with Delaware because they have some of the fewest question marks across the board, you know, the most returning production. So, you know, even though they haven't quite started camp yet or very early on, you know, there will be still a lot to talk about coming off of year one FBS going into this year with some pretty high expectations. So, and then it'll all kind of boil down into some of our key quarterback battles later on in the month. So I'm excited. Yeah.
So yeah, that episode will consist of an interview with Josh and a media member, and then it'll cap off with my interview with Coach and the two players that were in attendance at Media Day. So some of the information that you're getting from that interview may seem a little outdated at that point. They're going through camp, they're doing things, but we asked some fun questions in there too, which were really fun to hear and ask the guys. And if you liked what you saw today, and you like what we're talking about with this preview series, please make sure that you are following us on social media at USA Insider Pod on X and Instagram. You can find us on YouTube. Just search at Conference USA and you'll find our USA Insider podcast playlist right there at the top of the page. You can also listen to us audio only, if you please, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Amazon Music. And there's just a lot of really fun content coming up with this preview series interviews. So you want to make sure that you are following us on all platforms so that you don't miss a thing. Well, that is it for us. After a long summer off, we're so happy to be back here on CUSA Insider, the official podcast of Conference USA. I'm Sarah Rudolph, signing off.